I'm joined in studio by a wonderful man. Let me tell you the story. I was actually overseas in Israel, and you know, sometimes things come up on your timeline and you look at a video and then another video comes up on that timeline, and came across this video that this guy had posted, Big Daddy Liberty, he called himself. And here was a black South African who was talking about his experiences in Israel. And I'm always interested to hear. And I started listening to what he had to say. I was like, hold on, who is this guy? Where does he come from? How is it what he is saying is so very, very different from the general narrative in South Africa? His name is really Sihle Ngobesi. He works for the South African Institute of Race Relations, and he joins us in studio right now. Welcome to Chai FM.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for putting out these marvelous videos. You're very entertaining.
Thank you. Thank
very
you
entertaining
much.
To watch.
I do strive to have the show entertain and teach at the same time.
Yes.
Because a lot of the topics I discuss are very serious ones, but at the same time, you want South Africans to be, or rather, you want South Africans to feel, like you're not lecturing to them, that actually you're embracing
them. People actually
them
have a brain. We don't have to dumb it down.
There you
yes.
go.
yes.
But yeah. And the issue of Israel is exactly one of those issues.
What made you go to Israel?
Oh, excuse me. There's two sides to the story. Both are brief. So in the one instance, I grew up in a very pro-Israel household. You know, I grew up in a Christian household. I myself am now converting to Judaism, but essentially, you know, I had parents who were very proud of Israel from a theological perspective, because our faith and our religion draws a lot of
sure.
reference to what happened in that part of the world. It has significance for us, and it has significance for the maternal side of my family. The other part of it is, you know, in my adult years, you know, you go through university and you have these different vested interest groupings, you know, all having their own narrative on certain issues. And in my university years, BDS was one of those vested interest groupings that would, you know, spew a lot of rhetoric about Israel.
Sure.
And as a student, you know, you're a little conflicted because, you know, from in my perspective, I come from a home that supports Israel from a religious point of view. But, you know, here are these people who are saying all these things about Israel, which sound absolutely wicked, and you know, you'd think Israel is the prime evil, you know, sort of sitting in a big chair with a white cat stroking a cat, you know, with an evil laugh. You know,
you know, I don't know what
absolutely.
You mean.
And that was the image, you know, you're sold as this young impressionable person on the campus.
And of course, young people are all fired up and they want to change the world, and they've got the energy and the creativity to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And here is a grouping which also uses emotive language, understanding that young people are very emotional people. But I took a step back and I said, no, hang on. You know, almost like any Shakespearean play, you know, there's always that play between appearances versus reality.
Yes.
You know, and I just took a moment to actually do the research, and I found out that a lot of the nonsense they spoke of is absolute, well, exactly that nonsense. And then look, later in my years, I got an opportunity through, various friends and partners to actually go to Israel. And that was last month now, and the experience was absolutely
mind blowing,
and actually it changed my world.
Really? What did it change for you?
Two things. One, it is a sharp, okay, firstly, I've got a show now. So, you know, obviously on the one hand, it helped me create content for the show. And what I set out to do was I said, okay, cool. I have my own biases about Israel. I'm obviously very pro, Israel. I'm a Zionist. And
I love your honesty and the fact that you're acknowledging that you've got your own biases.
No, absolutely.
That keeps your mind open to
absolutely.
Hearing other opinions. And I love that.
And that's the thing about the Big Liberty show yeah. and Big Daddy Liberty as a brand. You know, I'm quite open around what my particular worldview is, and what I'm presenting to my viewers and soon to be listeners is exactly that. What I think about the world and how I think we could better it through the prism of freedom and liberty and other principles. But insofar as Israel. So here I am in Israel, and I'm amongst other influencers, social media influencers from around the world, people who fight for Israel and the you know, the Zionist cause. And you know, I'm standing and I'm thinking, but a lot of these principles are what we want and need in South Africa. And so far as a functional democracy, in a tough part of the world, where things work. And ironically, at the time, when I was actually in Israel, a lot of stuff was happening here back home, where things weren't working. I mean, there was stage four and the threats of stage six load shedding, you know. And here I am in this country, which is a desert, two thirds desert. And they can supply water to even the most remote parts of the desert, including their urban centers. They have a uninterrupted electricity supply. And here's the society that is just peaceful and people are getting along and it's diverse. The very things that I was told, at least, and we are told as South Africans by vested interest groups like BDS, that isn't the case in Israel. Actually, it is. So here I am in Israel, and I'm my mind is absolutely blown, because now I'm thinking, this should be South Africa. You know, you walk down Tel Aviv along the promenade on the beach and think, this could be Durban. This could be Cape Town. We have the exact same resources. We have the exact same, you know, flora and fauna.
Geography is very similar.
But yeah, you know, so you can't but fall in love or help but fall in love with Israel. Especially when you then put together, as I did, a show, excuse me, and various episodes showing what reality is in Israel versus the appearance that organizations like BDS create. And
I loved your videos. Love your videos.
Thank you very much.
just before we move on, when you talk about that you're going to be having listeners, are you doing a radio show?
Well, no, I'm starting the Big Liberty Show as a podcast. The Big Liberty Show right now is a televised show, and again, when I say televised, it's on YouTube.
Yes.
That's what we consider to be TV in my generation.
Listen, you don't have to wait for big radio stations and big TV stations.
Well, there you go. And essentially what it is a classical liberal, a young Zulu, soon to be Jew.
Does it make you a Zuju?
Well, there you go. I'm going to coin that one, you know. but, you know, here's a show that will be telling the truth as I see it in the world and through ideas that actually have worked in society. And that's why Israel was very important for me. Here is a country that it recognizes its past. It recognizes the past both in terms of a people who've gone through a lot, including a people who've actually been kicked out of their homeland and who are now back and are forging something different, forging something special. And you ask yourself the question, if Jewish citizens in that country, and really Israeli citizens, period, because it's not just Jews, can form a diverse society like that, which is growing, which is providing for the next generation, which is actually proving to be a beacon of hope in a region, in a part of the world where there's a lot of darkness, then why can't South Africans do the same? Why are we hamstrung by ideas which prevent us from becoming a society similar to that? We've got the ideas. We've got the people. I have a deep, deep, deep passion for not only that part of the world, but also my country. And I believe we can learn good lessons from Israel and actually begin to quiet down the vile voices that are pretending that Israel is this big bad wolf that it actually isn't.
Howard Feldman. You know Howard Feldman. He's just sent me a message saying, wow, he's awesome. Can't we keep him?
Thank you, Howard. well, put it this way. I'm glad to be here. I mean, this is the first time I'm on Chai FM. And, you know, the community is one which is becoming very close to me in my heart, both in terms of the shows that I now attend when I'm here. And also, you know, where it began in Cape Town, you know.
All right. This is an ongoing conversation. We won't put you on the spot. That was Howard. All right. Hachamor, meaning the Hamor is a donkey.
That's right.
Hamor, right. Says, congrats on seeing BDS for what it is. A racist bunch of small-minded people funded by the Iranian government.
That's right. And what you forgot to mention is that they're actual anti-Semites. And again, don't take this from me. Actually speak to ordinary people. I mean, I have an episode. Please find it on YouTube. Look for the Big Liberty Show or Big Daddy Liberty. Look for the first Israel episode that I've put out.
Yeah.
And what I do on my show is I speak to ordinary people. I don't speak to the politicians. I don't speak to the big influencers, the loud chattering class voices. I speak to ordinary people and I pose the question to you, what do you think about X, Y, or Z? In this instance, the Israeli episode, I was in Tel Aviv and I spoke to ordinary people. I mean, you'll see an eclectic mix of people who give me their opinion. And I asked them serious questions and also quite, you know, a little bit jabby, funny ones. So one of the questions I asked very briefly was, you know, is this an apartheid state? Are you segregated? Do you, as a Jewish Israeli, hate black people or you hate Arabs, et cetera, et cetera? And the first thing they do is they have this weird scowl on their face. They're like, how dare you ask me something so absolutely, you know, poppycock, absolutely poppycock. TikTok. We are an open society. We love everybody. There's, you know, there are rights according to every Israeli citizen, regardless of your creed. And they absolutely went about, you know, regaling me around what Israeli society is. It's an open society where there's protections, there's rights for everybody. And that's what you essentially are not told by interest groups like BDS. And you then quickly find out that actually your BDS types are actually anti-Semites. There's something deeply hateful in their message that has nothing to do actually
with
Israel.
Liberal with the truth.
Well, that, or, yeah, you absolutely. Know. And, you know, funny enough, one guy I speak to in the show, says, hey, look, technically speaking, he is an immigrant to Israel. He's heard BDS, not a fan of them. Cause I'm trying to make the point that I don't edit the show just to have one view. And he says, hey, look, out of 100%, 2% of what BDS says, according to this guy, is true. But they then take that grain of truth and pervert it in order to present an anti-Semitic message and then pass it off as being criticism of Zionism, mm-hmm. when actually it isn't. It's a criticism of a people who belong in that part of the world that is their home. And what they're doing is coming back home and creating something special. And you can't but not see that in terms of, as a last thought, you can't but not see that in terms of what, Israelis have done in their country. I mean, I went all over their parts of the world and I become a little bit emotional when I make this point, you know, but they have their founding father, Ben Gurion, who founded a nation which has truly become a great nation. You can't help but not become emotional. Because you then draw the parallels between him and what we had in this country, where we come from a bad past and an uncertain past and people who were ready to be at each other's throats.
And a more uncertain future.
Absolutely. And we also had a leader who actually said, no guys, what you do to build a nation is to bring everybody together. And we celebrate Mandela, for example, the same way that they celebrate Ben Gurion. So I then ask people the question, how do you not become emotional when you think about a nation that's gone through so much and actually
we've survived and we were the best people on earth.
Absolutely.
And you know what? And we've got politicians who are they're using that against us.
And unfortunately, in some pockets, we allow it. And we allow them to have the loudest voices and we allow them to do the talking on our behalf. And this is what the Big Liberty Show is trying to prevent or rather push back on. The idea that actually give ordinary people a chance to voice their opinions. Give ordinary people a chance to tell you what their reality is. And you'll find that there is a big gulf between who the politicians say we are versus who we are actually as a people. South Africans, by and large, from my experience, I've noticed are three things by and large. One, God-fearing in whatever denomination, whatever religion they follow. Law-abiding by and large, except when we run those traffic lights every now and again.
Please tell me kind is the third word.
Or just the third one. We'll speak to kindness. Yeah. We're family-orientated.
Yeah.
Those are the three things that we care about. So that whatever you hear about us as, for example, extolled by BDS or the ANC,
it's coming from
because those two are in a weird coalition, it's just simply not true.
Yeah.
When I go back home to Mlazi, final point, and I speak to people about Israel and I tell them about my experiences, that they go, oh, that makes sense. That is where we draw our spiritual inspiration anyway. So it makes sense when you say it's a functional society open to everybody, because one day, as they see it, they'll be in Israel.
I'm speaking to Sikle Ngobesi, Big Daddy Liberty. Go and subscribe to his YouTube channel. I'm going to see if we can actually keep you. Can we keep you for a little while? So we were talking about the similarities.
Mm.
And between Israel and Israelis in terms of leadership and South Africa and South Africans in terms of leadership. And actually, when you think about it, we have had very similar roads.
Mm.
Where do we go from here? What's your thought? What do you want to do as a young person who you really hold the world in your hands?
Oh. You know, daunting thought that. But no, you're absolutely right. I think what we as South Africans have done, unfortunately, is that we've ceded who we are as a people, including our self-description of who we are as a people, over to politicians who have no interest in who we are as a people. Sorry for that. So, I mean, you now have a situation where we believe people who say things like white people are land thieves and don't have a place in this country. We believe people who say things like all Indian South Africans are racist. We believe people who say essentially through what they think and their way of thinking.
Why do we do that? Why do you think we believe them? Because, you know, if you look at an institute like Nelson Mandela Foundation,
yeah,
they they also, they have a huge issue with the fact that, you know, when it comes to nation building, that stopped. That stopped with Thabo Mbeki. Mm. You know, and we've only had nation destruction.
Yeah, since. Look, it's a little bit of a different topic, but essentially what it comes down to is that we now have a political class, unfortunately, who believe in bad ideas. And these bad ideas are usually linked and yoked to things like socialism. I mean, we have a political elite and Marxism, who are literally marching down this road because they think it will preserve their power base. Because, you know, now you have a situation where South Africans are free. I mean, we have freedoms in this country which we take for granted, but really there are parts of the world that don't have these sort of freedoms. But with these freedoms, now also had a development of a opportunistic political class, an elite really, who then want to preserve their power base, and in doing so will lie, will use bad ideas like socialism to essentially cajole people into camps and different camps. Now, I deliver a speech. Just very briefly, I deliver a speech across the country when people invite me, often into their homes. I often say, look, if you have a group of friends, there's five of you, there's eight of you, invite Big Daddy Liberty to your home. I deliver a 20-minute speech, a briefing, a hard analysis, where the country is right now, where we could be going as a country, and what the risks you're facing as a family are.
I want you back next week to give that speech on Chai FM. Mandy, next week, getting him back to give that 20-minute speech.
But the thrust of it, very quickly, the thrust of it is this. You know, South Africans are under assault right now by bad ideas from politicians who know they're bad ideas but are trying to preserve their power base. And these ideas are designed to divide the country, because as long as people don't view each other as fellow South Africans, we view each other as white, as black, as Arab, as Jew, or whatever the case may be, then we have no incentive to build a nation. And then once we're in these camps, politicians, you know, want to have their little fiefdoms, so they'll say, we are a politician representing our people. And when they say our people, it's usually some sort of exclusive grouping, either black South Africans or white South Africans or whatever the case may be. And no one's actually really spreading the message of actually, how do you build a freedom-loving, a prosperous society where people are actually united behind diverse and at times separate goals, but essentially a diverse nation. No one's having that conversation. And the show, the Big Liberty Show, is trying to have that conversation more and more with ordinary South Africans, not the politicians and not the chattering class individuals, elites, essentially. So tying it back very quickly to Israel, you know, some of the other episodes I'll be releasing, I'm just busy editing and tidying it up, is a water feature where I make the point that, you know, Israel goes through a lot of the problems that we face as South Africans. Right now, as we speak, residents in the Western Cape are being told to essentially ration their water usage to about 60 liters per day per person.
Is it back?
Well, it's been relaxed now. They're back to sort of level 3, I think.
Yeah.
But essentially, there's these various levels that just are basically telling people to ration the use of water. Now, bear in mind, Cape Town, for instance, you know, one of the biggest metropoles in this country, is right by the ocean. It could be, for instance, desalinating and providing water, drinking water to ordinary families. But we don't. Why? Because various voices got involved, including BDS, who then said things like, oh, how dare there's, you know, the DA, the local DA government there, even talk to the Israelis, even though Israel, from an objective position, is one of the world leaders at desalinating water. And they have about 31 desalination plants, and they're providing water, and I mean this, even to Bedouin communities in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk into the desert and you find a tap where, you know, goat herders will then open it up and provide water to their goats. And then you think to yourself, why are we not doing this? Why are we not leveraging the market as Israelis do? Because it's not all state provided. It's also using the market. And having the sort of leadership which is visionary that can actually say, actually, this is how you build a society that provides for everybody, so that allows ordinary individuals like you and me to pursue their own interests freely in a free, prosperous society. We're not doing this, unfortunately, because the politicians have no interest in that. They want to keep the fiefdom of black and white versus rich and poor, versus this and that, and we need to shatter that and actually say, no, I demand my liberty. I want to be a free South African where I identify with other people and I live in a free and prosperous society. We need to build that.
What a privilege it is to speak to you. I have to tell you, and if you are representing the youth of tomorrow, I think that South Africa has a very, very bright future.
Well,
if you have the energy, and if we can just like clone you.
Well, luckily, you know, it begins
put one
here.
On every street corner. <would be good.
laughs> I mean, just very briefly, it begins here. It begins with you listening to my voice right now, actually being brave and saying, look, I will inbox Big Daddy Liberty and say, please come to my place. I'll have between five and eight friends, and you will listen to the short briefing. You can ask questions. I mean, yeah. One of the good things about us in the Institute of Race Relations is that none of what we say is opinion. It's hard analysis, hard data. And we can arm you as a citizen with the good ideas that can allow you to fight back against the bad ideas from the political elites and actually say, no, I want to live in a free society. I want to live in a country where I view people as fellow South Africans and we build something special. You build a nation and not break it down as we see it right now.
So Dorf's got a question. He says, why is socialism a bad idea? Kibbutzes are an Israel backbone. Actually, they used to be. They aren't anymore, Dorf.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they aren't a, you know, they're not, Israelis are not a socialist society by any stretch. I mean, this is the market economy, where individuals in that country are allowed to pursue their own separate interests. And that could be anything. If you want to be a doctor, you be a doctor. And there's no hindrance to you. I mean, there's also this other myth that we hear from BDS, for example, that, oh no, Arabs who live in Israel are not allowed to pursue their own interests and their own dreams. Nonsense.
Are you kidding me? When you go to the universities, that's who's in the universities.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I speak to university kids in the video that I refer to that I put online, and they're like, no, I'm from Haifa. This one kid said he's from Haifa, and he has a diverse, eclectic mix of friends, and he's at a university where the same thing's happening, where Arabs are graduating with high qualifications, and they're part of that society. So in terms of the question, socialism is a bad idea because all you need to do is look at the record of history in the 20th century, and you'll see there's over 100 million dead people to its name, where, again, maybe not, and, you know, you might be a skeptic and say, oh, but, you know, that's historical. We can have a situation where it works today.
Go and learn about genocide.
Well, I then say, well, look at what's happening today. Our neighbors just to the north, Zimbabwe, tried socialism, essentially, with all sorts of bad ideas, including their version of expropriation without compensation. It collapsed their economy. And today, you have as many as 2 million Zimbabweans living here in South Africa. They're not doing this because they're on holiday. They're doing this because they're fleeing a bad system in their own country, which deprived them of opportunities. And that's what socialism does. You can look across the world. Venezuela is an apt example. You think load shedding was bad in this country? Venezuelans have had 5 days, for instance, of a complete blackout. Think about that. Nothing works. No ATMs, no cell phones, nothing.
No water.
And no water, obviously, because the pumps can't get the water to various regions of the country. Sure. So socialism, unfortunately, has a bad track record. What you want is a society based on liberty and a market economy where every individual, including the poor people in our rural parts of the world, have an opportunity to get an income, with that income build savings, specifically household savings, and through household savings buy options like better healthcare, better education,
and capitalism drives innovation.
Exactly.
And that's why socialism's not necessarily good, Dov. Okay, so we are going to go to Rolene Marks. We're going to take the Israel report. Stay right where you are.
Awesome.
We are not done with you. That's Rolene Marks. Yeah, just what a sobering thought. But there's so many. I wanted to find out about why they aren't on biometrics, because when I was there, both my children live in Israel. They're grown up, and my daughter had to do something. And if you deal with the government, you have to send a fax.
Yes.
What do you mean a fax? Who the hell even owns a fax machine? Shema, you can't hack a fax.
Well, good point.
And if it's your personal information that you're sending through, you don't want that anywhere near hackers.
Yeah, but I mean, Israel.
And I thought that was quite smart.
Israel, very briefly, it's the world leader in cybersecurity. I mean, I'd more trust the Israeli government, and this is a lot coming from me, who's someone who's generally a libertarian and classical liberal, who wants to see the role of the government, you know, reduced. But essentially, I'd trust them, you know, with handling responsibly, you know, biometric information of citizens.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that we do want them to have, for example, like an ID number and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it comes back to my experience there. And I actually spoke to some Israelis who say, look, Israeli government is like a government anywhere else in the world. It has its inefficiencies. But you do see a society which does lean very heavily on the side of tech. And it's fantastic. I mean, there's just innovation.
Parking
there.
Bays, everything.
It's amazing.
Everything.
It's lovely.
Pick up a bike here, drop it off there.
You know, even a public transport system which is integrated and you can see on your phone where this bus is and how long it'll take to get
to. Exactly.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Sikhle, we're going to have to pause right there. We need to get some news headlines with Sasha, and then we're going to get some sport with Louis Karpers. We've also got the hot tech with Jan Vermeulen coming up. And, yeah, he's editor at large. He's not just the editor. He's editor at large.
Oh, dear.